The Brian McClanahan Show, episode 329.
It's time to think locally and act locally. Welcome to the Brian McClanahan Show.
Welcome back to the Brian McClanahan Show. Glad to have you back in the program. Very glad to be here. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Brian McClanahan. Like my Facebook page at Brian McClanahan, and subscribe to my YouTube page where you can watch this podcast at Brian McClanahan. You can find all those social media accounts on my webpage, brianmcclanahan.com, B-R-I-O-N, McClanahan.com. While you're there, give me an email address. I'll give you a free ebook, Forgotten Founders, and a free audiobook of the same title read by yours truly. You can support the show by going to McClanahanAcademy.com, where it's always free to enroll, and you get a free course when you do it. And of course, if you are enrolled in the Academy, you get the best deals on new courses and forthcoming courses. That's a big hint. Here we are, Wednesday, July 22nd. Within less than a week, there will be a new class. So you're going to want to be enrolled so you get the best deal on this class, and you're going to want this class. It's going to be awesome. You can also support the show by going to brianmcclanahan.com. Click on that support tab. You can throw a few pennies my way, help keep the lights on, help keep the podcast going. You can get your book plate there if you want my autograph on one of my books. And, of course, my newest book is Southern Scribblings. It's an awesome book, 60 essays in defense of the Southern tradition. You're going to want that. You can also click on that shop tab on my webpage. You can get your Brian McClanahan Show logo on all kinds of cool stuff, or the Think Locally, Act Locally sticker. It's a great thing, too. You can go to Learn True, T-R-U-E, LearnTrueHistory.com, where you can support the show. Lots of great ways to support the show. I do appreciate all your support. Send me your show requests. Make sure you rate this podcast wherever you get podcasts, share it around on social media. Do all that you can to spread the word of thinking locally and acting locally. All right. Last episode was fun. I did have some people commenting on my semantics. I said troops. And those aren't troops. Those are law enforcement officers. And, of course, then someone sent me the comments by Tom Cotton. Saying that the situation in Portland was like the South and lead up to the war, the Civil War. We got to go in like Lincoln and crush these people. This is the kind of stuff that I've talked about on this podcast before, how the neoconservatives can't get out of their own way in being stupid. That if they're going to continue the Lincoln worship, they're going to get crushed politically. So that aside, I did say troops. Talking about semantics. These are law enforcement officers carrying around paintball guns and smoke grenades. But regardless, they're using non-lethal force. They look like militarized police, so they look like soldiers. I mean, this is what we've got in America today. It's almost indistinguishable between the U.S. military and police forces now. I was driving by in the town where I live, and there was some kids on a field trip looking at a police vehicle for the county sheriff that was a military vehicle. It's military surplus. I mean, and oh, this is great. Look at this. And you got the police officer standing out there looking like soldiers. I mean, so they're playing G.I. Joe. And this is supposed to be great. This is fantastic that we have this. Of course, it's not. We don't need militarized police. Where is Walt Longmire, right? I mean, where is that kind of guy for a police? We don't have those guys anymore. But regardless, the topic today has to do with this kind of new America and our ignorance of historical precedent on certain things. And so I want to bring up Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is back in the news because of an exchange she had with another congressman. And I want to read the article from The Hill. There's two articles from The Hill weighing in on this issue. First, we had the article from yesterday. The title is Ocasio-Cortez Accosted by GOP Lawmaker Over Remarks. That kind of confrontation hasn't ever happened to me. Tensions flared on Capitol Hill this week when a Republican lawmaker challenged Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat, New York, on issues of crime and policing in an unusual and decidedly personal confrontation on the Capitol steps. Representative Ted Yoho from Florida was coming down the steps on the east side of the Capitol on Monday having just voted when he approached Ocasio-Cortez, who was ascending into the building to cast a vote of her own. In a brief but heated exchange, which was overheard by a reporter, Yoho told Ocasio-Cortez she was disgusting for recently suggesting that poverty and unemployment are driving a spike in crime in New York City during the coronavirus pandemic. "You are out of your freaking mind," Yoho told her. Ocasio-Cortez shot back, telling Yoho he was being rude. "You're rude." Now, this is just, are we in high school? I wonder, are we in high school? First of all, my question, if we had real federalism, Ted Yoho, the issue of crime in New York wouldn't even matter to Ted Yoho. And it really wouldn't even matter to Ocasio-Cortez, because guess what? It's not under the federal purview to handle crime in New York. You see, if we had a real constitution with real federalism, if we were all thinking locally and acting locally, this wouldn't even be an issue for the federal government. But no, because Ted Yoho's in Florida, he's got to worry about what happens in New York, and vice versa. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has to worry about what happens in Florida, and we all have to worry about what happens in Oregon. Oh, and we have to worry about what happens in Alabama and Texas and California. We all have to worry about these things, except we don't, because if we had a real constitution and real federalism, these would not even be issues. The two then parted ways after Ocasio-Cortez said he was rude. Ocasio-Cortez headed into the building while Yoho, joined by Representative Roger Williams from Texas, began descending towards the House office buildings. A few steps down, Yoho offered a parting thought to no one in particular, so he wasn't even addressing her, didn't even say it to her, but he called her an effing female dog. And the reporter heard it. "Oh my gosh, I have to tweet this." Ocasio-Cortez, a liberal firebrand and social media sensation. Just look at how they describe her. But, you know, Yoho is rude. But she is a liberal firebrand and social media sensation. I don't know if that's the case. Is no stranger to attacks from the right, but shortly after the exchange, she said it was the first time since she arrived in Congress that another lawmaker had challenged her so aggressively. "That kind of confrontation hasn't ever happened to me, ever," she said. "I've never had that kind of abrupt, disgusting kind of disrespect leveled at me." Approached a few hours later, Yoho declined to discuss any aspect of the exchange. "No comment," he said. Now, listen to the victim status here. I mean, she's appealing. It's an emotional appeal. And you want to talk about, you know, all these things that we bring up in modern society about gender roles and race and all the things we talk about, all the social issues that we get into. And these things aren't supposed to exist, right? At least we're not supposed to think about these things unless they work to your advantage. And in this case, she's playing a victim card here. You know, the way the story is written would be the female victim in this particular case, the masculine, the man coming after and abusing her verbally, and she's, I'm just walking up for a vote. Williams, who was in position to hear the entire back and forth, said he wasn't paying it any mind. "I was actually thinking as I walked down the stairs, I was thinking about some issues I've got in my district that need to get done," Williams said. "I don't know what the topic was." There's always a topic, isn't there? At issue were comments Ocasio-Cortez made earlier in the month during a virtual town hall with the mothers of two black men, Eric Garner and Ramarley Graham, who were killed in recent years by New York police officers. During the event, Ocasio-Cortez was asked about gun violence in New York, which has spiked this summer as the nation's largest city, which was clobbered by the coronavirus, still reopens from months-long lockdown. Ocasio-Cortez, who represents parts of Queens and the Bronx, has long advocated for policies that cut police budgets and shift that funding to education, mental health, and other social services. In a response, she stuck to that theme, suggesting the surge in crime stems from the economic hardship facing New York's poorest communities. "Crime is a problem of a diseased society which neglects its marginalized people. Policing is not the solution to crime," she said. Ocasio-Cortez wanted to propose that economic desperation caused by the coronavirus pandemic, combined with glitches in the delivery of federal stimulus checks and unemployment payments, has helped trigger the crime spike. "Maybe this has to do with the fact that people aren't paying their rent and are scared to pay their rent. So they go out and they need to feed their children. They don't have money. So they put in a position where they feel like they'd have to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night." Conservatives pounced, accusing Ocasio-Cortez of propounding torture rationales to excuse violent crime. "There's a big difference between shoplifting and cold-blooded murder. And for her not to know the difference is frankly astonishing, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee said last week on Fox News. On Monday, Ocasio-Cortez defended her position, saying she made clear during the town hall event she was referring to petty crime and crimes of poverty. Conservative media, she said, has purposefully taken her comments out of context. I say, listen, I'm not talking about violent crime, I'm talking about shootings. But when it comes to petty theft, a lot of these crimes of poverty and people are desperate, she said. So the right wing cuts up the clip per usual in a very misleading way. Ocasio-Cortez acknowledged that her outspoken advocacy of liberal policies has made her an easy target for conservatives. Okay, so she gets into this. Now, Cortez tweeted about this, and I'm going to talk about why I'm bringing this up in a minute. I've never spoken to Representative Yoho before. He decided to accost me on the steps of the nation's capital yesterday. Believe it or not, I usually get along fine with my GOP colleagues. We know how to check our legislative sparring at the committee door, which I would say is probably true. I mean, these people are all friendly with each other. This is the interesting thing about Congress. And then today, the next day, the same guy that wrote that piece has a new piece out. Mike Lillis. Leaders call for civility after GOP lawmakers' verbal attack on Ocasio-Cortez. House leaders in both parties moved swiftly on Tuesday to promote civility and tamp down lingering tensions by challenging a conservative lawmaker who had accosted a liberal Democrat on the Capitol steps a day earlier. The House, while a more rambunctious chamber than the sober Senate, nonetheless has its own norms of etiquette and rules of decorum, and party leaders made clear that Yoho's conduct had crossed the line. We need to pursue this kind of conduct and make it clear it is unacceptable, said Steny Hoyer, suggesting Yoho apologize on the House floor. I think it was despicable conduct that needs to be sanctioned. Hours later, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy summoned Yoho to his office to discuss the incident. Come on, Yoho, we got to talk about this. Got to come to the principal's office. We think everybody should show respect to one another, and not knowing what took place, I'll have a discussion with him to see what happened. The heated back and forth between you. I thought it wasn't heated. I don't know. Now, the brief episode was a tiny drop in a sea of events happening on Capitol Hill this week. But it arrived during a volatile time for the country, amid a deadly pandemic and a national debate over racial disparities that's divided America bitterly, frequently along lines of culture, ethnicity, region, gender, and party. Against that backdrop, the image of Yoho, a 65-year-old white male from North Central Florida, berating Ocasio-Cortez, a 30-year-old Hispanic woman from the Bronx, encapsulated the national mood and served as a microcosm of the broader national debate surrounding gender equality, race, and the future of criminal justice. This is what I said just a second ago. You see, this is what they're going to make it as. And you get the impression that this is just, I mean, my gosh, he called her a name. Oh my gosh. Now, granted, calling someone a name, and particularly in this way, is not very chivalric of Mr. Yoho. Okay? This was actually brought up years ago when the women's suffrage movement was in full swing, and it was discussed what would happen if women got involved in politics. And these type of episodes were brought up. Because you see, what's happening here, instead of Cortez coming out and saying, you know, I can take it, I'm tough. I mean, I gave it right back to that guy, or whatever it is, she's playing the victim. Oh my gosh, the 65-year-old white male just called me a name and I'm just so fragile. But this was brought up. This kind of stuff would happen, and women were asking other women, do you want this? Do you want this? Now, the idea that somehow the Congress is not civil, I mean, they even bring it up in the piece. First of all, Yoho shouldn't have done this. I mean, it's a stupid thing to do. It's not very chivalric. It's not showing any manners or etiquette, and a man from the South should have those things. But not just that. This is mild compared to what happened in Congress before. I mean, think about, this is so bad it makes the news that somebody called somebody a name. That's where we are in modern American society. But if you go back a couple of hundred years, 150 years, we have men getting beat nearly to death on the floor of the Senate. We have a duel taking place between two members of Congress, Jonathan Silley of Maine and William Graves of Kentucky, and if they were shooting each other with rifles, not pistols, they're at distance and shooting each other at each other with rifles. Then there was the instance in 1850 when Senator Foote of Mississippi pulled a pistol on Thomas Hart Benton. Thomas Hart Benton, who was a duelist who actually shot Andrew Jackson. I mean, this is, you have this stuff all the time. I mean, it's amazing how we forget these things. Or how about not long ago when, Strom Thurmond called for a wrestling match. And these two men in Congress, Strom Thurmond was one, was wrestling another member of Congress. I mean, but yet they're, I mean, somebody calls somebody a name. Strom Thurmond in his 90s also was trying to punch somebody in the Congress as well. In 2007, now this is not in Congress, but in the Alabama Senate, Republican Senator Charles Bishop punched Democratic Senator Lowell Barron in the head. I mean, that happened. South Carolina Representative Lawrence Kite also pointed a pistol at somebody in the Congress. I mean, this kind of stuff, political confrontation has turned violent many times in American history, even into the 20th century and 21st century. It's not something that's unusual or unheard of, but yet the Hill makes it out like this is something that's never happened before, that we've got this fragility and we can't even, a name is called to somebody, and so because of that, we're going to put it in the context of these things. Race, gender, it's the white guy against the Hispanic woman, the imposing, overbearing white guy. But that's how this is shown in society. Not two members of Congress. No, not two members of Congress. You have to put it within these terms. And so this is what makes everything so ridiculously stupid in American society. You've got members of Congress. Now, if we were in a society where we firmly believe that, well, I mean, women have now entered the political fray and they're going to be subjected to the same kind of abuse that men have been. And I mean, look, at times, this was actually argued. This was going to be a downside of women getting involved in politics. There was going to be stuff like this. Don't do it. And yet, once it happens, I mean, well, you can't do that now. If that had been a man, or let's say the situation had been reversed and it was a female from a conservative female and a liberal male, I don't know if you would have seen a story in the Hill about it. And if it was two men, you never would have seen a story about it at all. But yet, because it's a female-male relationship, now we have a major story in the news. And Ocasio-Cortez said that, you know, this means that she gets stuff done. Now, I don't know if she gets a lot done. I haven't really seen much of what Ocasio-Cortez has wanted get done. She blocked Amazon from going to her district, which prevented people from getting jobs. That's one thing she did. So I guess in that case, she got something done. But otherwise, I'm not so certain she's really gotten anything done in Congress at all. But here again, we get back to the core issue. Why should Yoho of Florida even care about what happens in New York or what Ocasio-Cortez says on a live stream, says something stupid on a live stream? I mean, why does it even matter? New York is New York, Florida is Florida. And Williams is like, look, man, I got stuff to do in my district. So I'm in Texas. I mean, whatever goes on in New York. But this is the issue. When you nationalize everything in America, this is the kind of thing you get. It's the kind of stupidity you get from the media. And when you've created this environment, this political environment, without historical anchoring, knowing that Congress is volatile, Congress is going to be aggressive. If you yell out, you lie at the president, you're excoriated for it, as happened a few years ago with Barack Obama. If anybody ever watched British Parliament, they would know that, I mean, Americans are civil to being boring. Hasn't always been that way. We can even go back into the debate in the late 18th century when you had a fight in the Congress. Matthew Lyon of Connecticut was, you know, in a dueling match with tongs in the Congress, and men are sitting around laughing at it. I mean, this kind of stuff happened all the time. Men got into scraps in the Congress, and they fought each other, and they were men. But now when you add in the gender roles and everything else, we get a little different situation. Politics is nasty. If you get into the game, you're going to get called names. If you get into the game, you're going to have things, you're going to have verbal abuse leveled at you. And again, she's playing the victim. So, I mean, where are we in modern society? This is the question in this. I think this whole thing has been blown up to a level of stupidity that even is below the modern stupid news media. It shouldn't even have been a story, but some reporter, oh my gosh, he just called her a name. Let me tweet about it. And then it gets, got to call him in. Yeah, we can't say that to people. Again, if this was two men, would it even have been a story? Probably not. So, again, a couple of things. Southern tradition here with the way that men had talked to women, would speak to women, was much different. Even traditional America and the way women and men address you. I mean, even go back to Massachusetts. Forget the Southern tradition. Massachusetts, John Adams spoke to Abigail Adams, my dearest friend, and Abigail Adams didn't call her husband John, but Mr. Adams. I mean, the formality between men and women was so much different. And you had to show respect. Had to show respect. Men had to show women respect, North and South. And of course, that carried forward much longer in the South because this is a whole other issue in and of itself, but what impact did the women's suffrage movement have actually on loosening restrictions on male-female formal conduct? Because, again, the anti-suffragists mentioned, these were women that when you get into the gutter in politics, which is a gutter business, you're going to get in the gutter with the men, and it's going to be nasty. So why do it? Why do it? It's interesting how history, gives you examples of these things, and then we see it, and like, oh my gosh, this is shocking. Or the fact that we have real federalism. If we had it, we wouldn't have this kind of issue to begin with. All right. So, I mean, this was just completely stupid, but it gave me an opportunity to talk about how violent Congress actually has been over the years compared to where we are today, how we've gotten to this point without any historical understanding whatsoever. And stories like this show that every single day. Every single day, something like this shows that. Makes a nice example of the fact that Americans are historically ignorant. And not only that, we need real decentralization in America. All right. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Brian McClanahan Show. I will see you next time. See you then.